Good morning, everyone. Let me welcome you to this service of thanksgiving to the life of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. We're going to commence the service by singing together the first hymn in our order of service this morning. It's hymn number one in our own hymn book, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, Victorious, Thy great name we praise. The hymn number one, first hymn in the order of service. We'll stand as we sing, and let us sing it out with all of our hearts. A wonderful hymn reminding us of the greatness of the God whom we serve and the God whom we worship. Hymn number one in the order of service, standing as we sing. Let us stand as we sing. Just unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord for His help and blessing, and that we might know a gracious sense of His presence among us here today, and that we might each one know and hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we do bow before Thee the Sabbath morning. We come to Thee in no merit of our own, but O God, we approach Thee today upon redemption ground. We come to Thee today in and through the worthy and precious and all-powerful and all-prevailing name of Thy dear Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who is King of kings and the One who is Lord of lords. And, O God, we thank Thee today for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary, We thank that Christ came to give his life a ransom for many. And Father, we thank thee that upon that middle tree of Calvary's hill, he died the just for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Father, we thank thee today for that once for all sacrifice for sin. We thank thee for the perfect life of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And Father, we thank thee that upon the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And Father, we praise thee and we thank thee that with his stripes we are healed. And Father, we thank thee today for the wounds of Christ at Calvary's cross. We thank thee for those bleeding wounds. We thank thee for the blood that was shed. And we rejoice, O God, today that there's pardon, there's peace, there is redemption, there is salvation that is full and rich and free, found in and through the person and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Father, we thank thee today that we can approach thee, the mighty, eternal God of heaven. And we thank thee, O God, that we can come to thee in no merit of our own, but through Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. And we thank thee, O God, today that we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank thee, O God, today that when we come to thee through Christ, that thou dost stretch forth the scepter of thy grace and the scepter of thy mercy toward us. And Father, we return thee thanks and praise today for all thy goodness and all thy mercies. We thank thee, O God, that we can gather here in this fashion today in freedom and liberty, with health and strength and soundness of body and of mind, the gift of all our faculties, which to praise thee and to worship thee, the Almighty and the Eternal God of heaven. And, O God, our prayer is today that thou would just bless our coming together. Realize, Lord, that it is thy presence that makes the feast. And, Father, from this opening hymn to the last amen, we pray that thou wilt draw near, that thou, Lord, wilt speak to our hearts today, that thou wouldst still our hearts, O God, before thee, and that each and every one of us might know and hear the still small voice of God to our hearts, saying, "This is the way, walk ye therein." Eternal Heavenly Father, we do give thee thanks today as a congregation for the life and for the reign of Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II. We thank thee for her long and noble reign. We thank thee for, Lord, that dignity and devotion and duty and sacrifice that she has made throughout her reign. And, O God, we give thee thanks and we give thee praise for this and for thy mercies to her and to our nation throughout her reign. And even today, Lord, as we come to give thee thanks for her reign, realize, O God, that it is through thee and through thee alone that we live and move and have our being. And, O God, we pray today that in all that is said and done in this house, that glory and honor will be brought to thy name. We do pray, O God, for the royal family, the royal household at this time, that thou wilt comfort them, that thou, Lord, wilt strengthen them, that thou, Lord, wilt sustain them by thy grace and by thy power at this time. And we do pray, O God, that even there might be that turning in their hearts, even unto the Lord, that they might come to know thee as Savior and as Lord, and to know thee and to rest upon thee who art the God of all comfort. And we pray that thou wilt give grace and strength and help, especially even tomorrow. O God, we ask. Father in heaven, we do pray for our nation at this time of national grief and mourning. We do pray, O God, that there might be a turning in our land unto thee, turning away from false religion to thee and to thy truth and to Christ for salvation and to thy word and to the ways of God. Lord, have mercy upon our land and upon our nation. And, O God, we do pray, Heavenly Father, that at this time, young and old alike, rich and poor alike, those that may be low down in society, those that are high up in society, would consider their latter end, and that they would prepare, O God, to meet thee. O God, we ask. Lord, bless us this day, we pray. We thank thee for our Sunday school and our Bible class this morning. And bless the ministry of thy word and thy truth to our children, to our young people. Lord, bless them and guide them in the ways of God. Do remember every other aspect of thy work here. We pray that thy hand of mercy, thy hand of grace would be upon it, O God, we pray. And that thou would use it, Lord, mightily and powerfully in this part of thy vineyard, Lord, to the extension of thy kingdom. Bless our missionaries today at home and abroad, we ask of thee, put your hand of blessing, O God, upon them, and use them for thine honor and for thy glory. And grant, Lord, that even throughout our land and our nation at this time, that we might know and see days of revival and reformation by thy grace and by thy power. So, Father, bless us now, we pray. Shut us in with thyself, we pray. Do us good. Remember, Lord, those that cannot be with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt minister to them. And others, Lord, who have suffered loss in recent times, we pray that they shall know the comforting hand of God to be upon them, and that thou, Lord, will bless them and minister to them by the grace and power of God. Abide with us now as we continue on in thy presence. Give help in the remaining part of this meeting, we pray. Have thy way in all our hearts and lives, and glorify the Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. I'm going to turn again to the second hymn in our order of service this morning, another wonderful hymn of testimony. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 323 in our own hymn book, the second hymn in the order of service. We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. As we sing. ask now our Clerk of Session, Mr. Ian Muir, to come and bring to us a tribute to our late Queen, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Thank you.
On September 8th, 2022, the life of Queen Elizabeth II came to a peaceful conclusion, bringing to a close the longest reign ever of a British monarch. The reign of Queen Elizabeth II commenced on the 6th of February, 1952, in Kenya. It was there in Africa while on a royal tour, she received word that her father, King George VI, had died. Instantly, the 25-year-old became Queen of the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka. Born Princess Elizabeth of York on the 21st of April, 1926, she was third in line to the throne. Her uncle David, who became King Edward, was heir. However, Edward was a man of the world, and his behaviour greatly concerned his father and the Prime Minister, Stanley Baldwin. After his father's death, Edward reigned for just 326 days and was never actually crowned king. His abdication meant his shy younger brother became king and led Britain through World War II, and his daughter Elizabeth was next in line to the throne. It's reported that Edward in later life told Queen Elizabeth that the crown always finds the right head. The providence of God so ordered events that the crown would find the head of Princess Elizabeth. We can thank Almighty God for his goodness to our great nation. A reminder of the words of Holy Scripture in Proverbs 8, verse 15, "By me kings reign." Just 4 years prior to becoming queen, Princess Elizabeth was on a tour of South Africa when she made that now famous speech broadcast on BBC Radio. "I make my solemn act of dedication with a whole empire listening. It is very simple. I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, be dedicated to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. But I shall not have the strength to carry out this resolution alone unless you join in with me, as I now invite you to. I know that your support will be unfailingly given. God make me now good my vow, and God bless all of you who are willing to share in it." The coronation service for Queen Elizabeth took place in Westminster Abbey on the 2nd of June, 1953. It was a service based on the coronation of Solomon by Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet in 1 Kings 1, verses 28 to 50. We will sing the words of verse 34 and verse 39 later this morning in the national anthem, "God Save the King." The first question asked to Queen Elizabeth at the coronation was, "Will you, to the uttermost of your power, maintain the laws of God and the true profession of the gospel?" When the Queen replied, "I will," it was not out of ritual or tradition, but out of sincere humility. Earlier in 1953, before the coronation, she said, "Pray that God give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promise I shall be making, and trust I may faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life." During the next 70 years, that is exactly what Queen Elizabeth did. She carried out her role as monarch with dedication, with diligence, and a great sense of duty. The reign of Queen Elizabeth was filled with days of personal and national celebration, but also sadness and disappointment. After the death of her mother and sister in 2002, she said, "I know just how much I rely on my own faith to guide me through good days and bad. Each day is a new beginning. I know that the only way to live my life is to try and do that which is right, to give of my best and all that the day brings, and to put my trust in God." Words perhaps drawn from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my God. Therefore will I hope in him. Despite many disappointments and trials, the queen was faithful to her dying day. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, it says, no man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Queen Elizabeth put her hand to the plough on the 6th of February, 1952, and kept holding on till her death last Thursday. As we remember her life, we thank God for his mercies towards her. We rejoice in her faithful service and draw inspiration so that we would serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with dedication and diligence. For as we read in Zechariah 9, verse 9, behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation.
I'd like to thank our brother Ian for that very detailed and respectful and honouring tribute to our late Queen, Queen Elizabeth II. Thank our brother for coming and doing that for us today. Also thank our brother for compiling together the order service for this special service also this morning. Now can I welcome everyone this morning, members of congregation, friends and visitors to this special service of thanksgiving for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. We also welcome all those who may be joining with us online. We thank you for taking time to join with us today. Our prayers, the Lord will richly bless you. If you're a believer in the Lord, may you be encouraged and strengthened in the ways of God. And if you know not Christ as Savior, our prayer is the Lord will draw you even today to himself and that you'll come to rest upon Christ alone for salvation. And as a church, as a congregation, indeed, our wider denomination, we continue to pray and intercede at the throne of grace for the royal family, that they will know comfort and grace and strength throughout these difficult days, and especially tomorrow, the day of the funeral service. God is the God of all comfort, and pray that they would know grace and strength and help. Remember our new king as well, King Charles III, that God would give him grace and strength and wisdom to do what's right, as he would rule as monarch in our land and in our nation. Now, the announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30. We'd encourage as many as possible to gather for the time of prayer. And then the gospel service tonight at 7 o'clock. I belong to minister God's word. Pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., is our normal midweek prayer meeting night. It will be a deputation meeting for the work of Let the Bible Speak ministry. Our brother, the Reverend Julian Patterson, will be with us to present that report. He'll be showing a video presentation, bringing God's Word, and then also be an offering for that work. So do remember that. Do come along. You'll be greatly encouraged and blessed as you hear what God is doing through that ministry across the world. Do remember the meetings of Bethel Children's Crusade this week, Tuesday night, 6:30 in Tresna, Friday night here, 6:30 in our Bethel Church. Pray for Gillian and all who gather that the Lord will bless his word to the boys and girls. Friday night, 8 p.m. is the youth fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather. If you're 11 years of age and over, you're most welcome to come along and bring your friends from school along with you as well. Next Lord's Day, the 25th of September, Sunday school and Bible class at 11 a.m. A morning worship service at 12 noon. We belong to bring God's word in the morning. And then at night, 7 p.m., we're having a special testimony meeting. Our brother, Mr. Alan Copeland, an elder from our Mullagh Glass Church, will be long to testify of God's saving grace, how that grace has changed the course of his life for time and for eternity. There are wee invite cards for that, and we encourage you to take those. They're out on the table in the porch. Take a handful with you this morning and give them out to friends and family, and do all you can to invite others in to that special testimony meeting next Lord's Day evening. Wednesday night, the 28th of September, there'll be a meeting of the church session here in the church, 8 p.m. I ask the brethren to remember that. Do please pray for the outreach this week. at the National Irish Ploughing Championships down in Rathniskay in County Leash. I will go down tomorrow night. There's a team of 10 going down. Pray for good weather. Pray the Lord will bless the literature, the conversations, the calendars, the Word of God as it is given out, and that it might be used to save souls and bless and encourage God's people. Just one or two other preliminary announcements. Our Harvest Weekend will be here in the church on the Lord's Day, the 16th of October, and then Monday night, the 17th of October. And then our 50th anniversary mission will be from the 23rd to the 30th of October. The evangelist, the Reverend Ferguson, the Reverend Greenfield, and the Reverend Dean. So we watch in prayer for those meetings and the will of the Lord. Also tomorrow night, that's tomorrow evening, the 19th of September, in Aroma Church at 8 p.m., there's also a special service of thanksgiving to the life of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. The preacher is the Reverend Ron Johnson, retired minister, former moderator, and Grand Orange Chaplain of Ireland. You're very welcome to go along, and there's supper for everyone as well on that occasion. Also, our youth council are organizing outreach this coming Saturday at the football match in Windsor Park. That's the 24th of September, and all young people are welcome to go along and help with that. You're to meet at Tyndale Church at 2:30, and then on Saturday evening at 7:30 in our Martyrs Church, there's a youth Bible study for all young people, again organized by our youth council, and the preacher there is the Reverend Ian Brown. And then just as a church and as a congregation, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our sister, Mrs. Celie Scott, and the passing of her brother-in-law, Pastor Harry Scott. And we assure our sister, Mrs. Scott, and all the family and wider family circle of our prayers and sympathies at this time of bereavement, that they will know God's comfort and God's grace at this time of loss. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again to our third hymn in our order of service. It's 305 in our own hymn book. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor lift or firm remain? We'll just remain seated for the early part of this hymn. We don't take up an offering during the service, but there are offering plates at the rear. Do remember that as you leave. But we'll keep our seats just for the early part of this wonderful old gospel hymn. 305, keeping our seats while we sing.
Thank you.
final verse in chorus.
With your eyes be
your Bible with you today, I would ask you to turn, please, to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, to the chapter number 3 for our Bible reading. We're reading some verses from that chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and then after that, turning over to the New Testament book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, and reading some verses from that chapter as well. You find Ecclesiastes in the middle part of the Old Testament. You have Psalms, Proverbs, and then you come to the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, and then after that, turning over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, reading verses 1 to 8 as well. So I encourage you to mark both those passages in your Bible, as we'll be looking at them today in our message. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and the verse number 1. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. And to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Then turning, please, over to the New Testament book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. For unto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 8 of that chapter. Our prayer is the Lord will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Let us unite our hearts, please, together, and a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy presence with us already in our gathering today, for the tribute, for the singing of the praises of our God and our Savior, and for the reading of thy precious and holy word. And bless these things to our hearts and to our souls today, O God, we ask. And Lord, as we come now to consider thy word, Lord, speak to us. Open up our hearts and our minds to thy word, to thy truth, to what God the Lord would say to us at this time of of national mourning at the passing of her queen, and also a time of thanksgiving for her life and for her reign. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast a word in season for us. And Father, we pray that thou would just bless thy truth to every heart. May it encourage and bless and strengthen every believer in the Lord. And for any in our gathering today, and O God, they're not saved, they're still a stranger to grace and to God. O God, our prayer is that even today they would come to know and to trust in Christ as Savior. He who is King of kings, and he who is Lord of lords. Bless us now, we pray. Give help in the ministry of thy word and of thy truth. Now, Lord, by thy Holy Spirit's enablement, we ask. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. Now, the year 2022 has been a most momentous year for our nation already. Yes, we have seen God's mercy in the decline of the COVID-19 virus, and we do pray that that mercy will continue throughout our land and throughout our nation. There has also been war in Ukraine that commenced in the spring, and Lord, as many hundreds, perhaps thousands of miles away from us here. That war does impact us here in our daily life of the increasing costs of daily living expenses and the rising energy and fuel prices throughout our land, no doubt linked to what is going on in that war at this time. Back in June, we had the Platinum Jubilee celebrations in our nation, marking the 70-year reign of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. And that was a time of joy and thanksgiving throughout our land and our nation. Then in the first week of September, Liz Truss became our new Prime Minister. Then on the 8th of September, we heard the sad news that Queen Elizabeth II had passed away. And with her passing, King Charles III is now our new monarch and head of state. Now, the death of Queen Elizabeth II has led really to a great outpouring of grief nationwide. There's also been many tributes and messages of sympathy to our royal family and to our nation that have come from afar. Indeed, as a church, we do pray that the royal household will know much of God's comfort, grace, and strength and presence through these difficult days of mourning for them. We pray also that our new king will know God's help and wisdom and strength as he fulfills his duties as our monarch and as head of state. Indeed, most importantly of all, we pray that the Lord will save him by his grace, and indeed other members of the royal family as well. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "There I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." But as well as praying for our royal family and for those who rule in our nation, over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse number 17, it says there, "Honor the king." And that word honor there really means to esteem. It means to value. It means to show respect. Therefore, as a church today, it is right that we give thanks to God for the long and indeed the noble reign of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Yes, her dignified reign has been an inspiration to so many. And my, in all of that, we see the goodness and the mercy and indeed the grace of our God. And we give God thanks today as a congregation for her reign of 70 years in our nation and throughout our commonwealth. Now, people, this morning we can say that the life and indeed the passing of Queen Elizabeth II has many important lessons for every single one of us in this gathering. In the time that is left, I want us just to share three of those lessons with you in particular. What are those lessons? Well, first of all, consider with me the destiny of the Queen. The destiny of the Queen. Over in Proverbs chapter 8 and the verse number 15, God is speaking to his servant Solomon. He says there, "By me kings reign." And those words really remind us that in his sovereignty, God appointed Queen Elizabeth to reign as our monarch for some 70 years. My following the death of her father, King George VI, Princess Elizabeth, at the young age of 25, she became our queen. And from what the queen has previously said, we see that with her coronation, this was something that she accepted as her destiny. Yes, she firmly believed that being queen of the United Kingdom and the British Commonwealth was God's sovereign purpose for her life. And she never complained against this divine appointment, this destiny for her life to rule as monarch upon the throne. People today, can I say the fact that Queen Elizabeth II was divinely appointed to be queen of our nation and our commonwealth. Indeed, it reminds each and every one of us today that God has a sovereign plan and a sovereign purpose for all of our lives. You notice there how Paul speaks of that plan in his own life in our Bible reading in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse number 7. He says, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle." And there Paul is telling us how God set him apart to be a preacher of the Word of God, to be an apostle, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was God's sovereign plan and purpose for the Apostle Paul. Turn with me in your Bible back to Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter 17. And here we have Paul speaking in Mars Hill to the people of Athens. And here again he reminds them of the sovereignty of God. That God has a sovereign plan and purpose for our lives. Look at what Paul says there in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 24. He says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Look at what he says in the middle of verse 25, following on from that, speaking of God. He says, "Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." And again in verse 28, he speaks further of God and he says, "From him we live and move and have our being." And people, that speaks to you and I of the sovereignty of God. That God is a sovereign plan, he is a sovereign purpose for each and every one of our lives. The Bible speaks of God and says, "For in him we live and move and we have our being." That's something we need to remember, dear people, on an occasion like this. God is a sovereign plan and purpose for our lives. Indeed, speaking of God's purpose, indeed God's will for our life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us there that God's will is good. God's will is acceptable and God's will is perfect. And child of God, in the meeting today, I say to you, keep this truth before you in life. My just, like the queen, God has a sovereign purpose, a sovereign plan for your life. And Christian, that purpose is for your good and through the fulfilling of that destiny in your life. God will bless you. God will use you for His honor, for His glory. Believer, I would certainly encourage you today to pray that God will show you His will for your life. And pray that God would enable you to live out and to fulfill His will and His plan for your life. That is how King David prayed. And David was perhaps the greatest king ever in the nation of Israel. Turn with me back to Psalm number 25. Look at how David prayed there in Psalm number 25 and verses 4 and 5 of that psalm. He prays, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait, all the day. And there he's praying, God, show me, guide me, direct me in your path, in your purpose, in your plan for my life. Look again what he says in verse 9 of the psalm. He says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. That really shows us there how God promises to reveal his will, his purpose to those who are yielded to him, to those who are submissive to him, to his ways and to his word. David wanted to know the will and the purpose of God for him and for his life as king in Israel. Indeed, this was the very burden of the hymn writer. Think of what the hymn writer says. They penned the words to the Lord, teach me thy way, O Lord. Help me to walk aright. And the burden, the desire of the hymn writer in that hymn was that they would know the will of God and the mind of God and the purpose of God for their lives. You think also today of the first answer in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It says, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And dear Christian in the meeting today, can I say this? It is by doing God's will on earth that you will glorify God, that you will enjoy God on earth, and that you will enjoy and know God's blessing and God's best on earth. The Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. Oh yes, today as we think of the life and the passing of our Queen, we think, yes, of her destiny. But not only her destiny, but secondly, let us consider the duty of her Queen, the duty of her Queen. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse number 2, we read these words. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We can certainly say today that faithfulness to duty was something that marked the reign, the long reign of Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II. My, she was faithful to that vow that she made as a 21-year-old princess. By addressing the British Commonwealth at that particular time, she said these words. She says, I declare before you all that with my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. God help me to make good my vow. God bless all of you who are willing to share. And that was the vow she made when she was just 21 years of old as a young princess. And right to the very end of her days, her reign was marked by service. It was marked by sacrifice. It was marked by dignity, by duty, by devotion, by steadfastness. And indeed, we can also say with a most gracious example. And in many of the tributes to her, people have spoken of how she tried to make the best of every situation in life that she found herself in. Indeed, 2 days before her own death, she was doing her duty and meeting with our new Prime Minister, Prime Minister Liz Truss. Now, the Queen's faithfulness to duty, indeed her gracious testimony, is a most worthy example for every Christian to follow. Child of God in the meeting today, let me say this, until the Lord comes, until the Lord calls us home, you and I are to be faithful. You and I are to be diligent in serving the Lord day by day. Think of the words of Paul to the church at Corinth. He says there, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There he calls us to be steadfast and faithful in serving the Lord. Also in our dealings with others, we are to be gracious and kind. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And by God's grace and enablement as Christians, we're to make the best of every situation that we find in life that comes our way in the providence of God. You turn with me in your Bible back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And the verse number 8. It says there, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, notice it, may abound unto every good work. Whatever your need is, whatever your circumstance is, dear Christian, God has grace for you in that circumstance. Whatever it is, it may be a time of deep trial, a time of deep stress, whatever. So that you and your Christian life, and by your witness and by your testimony, may abound unto every good work. And child of God, can I say, by living such a life, you will be following, I tell you, the greatest example of all. And that is the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ while He was here, and if He was steadfast in doing the Father's will, going to the cross of Calvary where He was to suffer and bleed and die for guilty sinners, going, yes, to a cross of ignominy and shame and sorrow and pain and great mocking. And He knew all about the cross that lay before Him, yet He went to the cross willingly. He did not turn away from that work that God the Father had set before Him to do, as to make a way of redemption for sinners on the cross. John chapter 17, in His great high priestly prayer, He says, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. My, He finished the work, the task that God gave Him to do in the cross. Indeed, He could cry out on the cross, it is finished. Then think of His life. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says He went about doing good. That was the mark of His earthly life. The Bible speaks of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and says He was full of grace and truth. That was the mark of His life, full of grace, full of truth. He was God manifest in the flesh. Believer, the Lord Jesus Christ says to you and He says to me, He says, follow Me. He is to be our pattern. He is to be our example in life. And Christian, by following the Lord, you'll be following the best example, the perfect example, the most important example of all, that of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. Yes, we consider today the destiny of our Queen. We consider, yes, the duty of our Queen. But finally this morning, I want us also to consider the death of our Queen. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and in the verse number 2, we read these words. God is speaking there through Solomon. He says there is a time to die, a time to die. In the book of Hebrews, we are told there that it is appointed unto man once to die. And on Thursday, the 8th of September, our Queen's appointment with death and departure from this world, that appointment came. And people, this sad reality, it reminds each and every one of us in this gathering that death is no respecter of persons. The Bible says we all must needs die. Indeed, should the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tarry, then death for you and I is something that is unavoidable. It is unstoppable. It is inescapable. And people sin, and indeed the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of time is the reason why we all will die and depart this world one day. In Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 12, it says there, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And there Paul tells us the reason why death is a fact in this world, because of man's fall into sin at the beginning of time. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 23, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You think again of the confession of David, the king of Israel, the greatest of Israel's kings, a most godly man.
A man who walked with God. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Yet we read of his confession in Psalm 51. And he says there, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Dear people, the teaching of the Word of God is this, that all mankind, whoever he is, whoever she is born into this world with a sinful heart and a sinful nature. That is how it was with you and I when we were born into this world. That is how it was with our queen whenever she was born also into this world, because the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And people, the Word of God makes it very clear that the only sinless, perfect person to grace this world was Christ, the Son of God. He who was God manifest in the flesh, God incarnate. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He could do no sin. But as for all the rest of mankind, every single one of us have been born into this world. Sinners by nature, sinners by practice. And people, sin is a terrible disease of the human heart. It's a disease that leads to ruin. It leads to heartache. It leads to utter catastrophe before God. It robs us of peace with God. Sin condemns all mankind to a lost eternity in hell. And unless his sin is forgiven by God, it will bar man from heaven. It will bar you and I from God's kingdom, God's heaven. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Think of what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, unless his sin was dealt with, he could not be in God's heaven. He was condemned to a lost eternity in hell itself. Men and women, that's the teaching of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. You know, people, the good news of the gospel is that sinful man can be saved from the awful ruin of his sin and be made sure of heaven. And the way of salvation is by faith. By faith alone in the atoning sacrifice and death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. You think of the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 53, verse 5, speaking of Christ. He said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. And there he speaks of the sacrificial death of Christ, that substitutionary death, when he bore upon himself the wrath of God, the judgment of God that we deserve for our sins. And that is the only way of salvation, through faith in Christ and in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Notice there how Paul spoke of that way of salvation in our Bible reading this morning. Verses 5 and 6 there of 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, therefore there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself, notice it, a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There's salvation, there's hope, there's life eternal through Christ, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. People, can I say, this is what the true Christian faith is all about. My, it's about the sinner, whoever he is, whoever she is, repenting of their sin, and coming to rest and coming to trust in Christ, in his sacrifice and his death alone for the salvation of their soul, their never dying soul, and the forgiveness of all of their sins before Almighty God. My people, I never had the privilege of meeting Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, but it is evident that she was a woman that had a knowledge of God's precious word and God's precious truth. Indeed, there were times in her reign when she publicly made reference to the Christian faith.
In her Christmas message in 2014, she said these words. She says, "For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is an inspiration and an anchor of my life." And friends in the meeting today, can I say this? There is only one way for you and I to be saved. There's only one way for any one of us to be saved from our sin and the awful ruin of our sin and of peace with God. And that is by faith in Christ. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the Prince of Peace. Only through faith in Him alone can you and I have a sure and steadfast anchor for our soul. You're in the meeting today, dear friend, and you're still not saved. I would urge you even now today to come by faith to Christ. Trust in Him alone for your salvation. The promise of Christ is this. He says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." It is by faith in Christ alone that you can prepare for the moment of your death. It is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone that you can know all your sins forgiven, whatever those sins are. It's by faith in Christ alone that you can have peace with God, that you can be given grace to serve the Lord, to live for the Lord, and to be absolutely sure of heaven when you come to die and to leave this world. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, today, yes, as we give God thanks for the reign of our Queen, as we consider her passing, we thank God, yes, for her reign, but oh, in her passing, there's a warning to us all. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting today, death is no respecter of persons. You're not saved today, be wise. The Bible says, "Prepare to meet thy God." May you make that preparation even today by coming in faith, trusting in Christ, resting upon Him alone for your salvation. We're just going to close our meeting with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us in our service today. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy Word and for Thy truth. And we pray that Thou would bless Thy Word and bless Thy truth to all our hearts in this meeting house today. We thank Thee, Lord, for each one who is saved, who has made preparation for eternity. But Lord, for any today, and they have not yet made that preparation, disturb, Lord, that sleep of death within their heart, within their soul. Lord, today may they come and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, be saved, have peace with God, pardoned for sin, be ready for heaven through faith in the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee today that Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the greatest King to serve and to worship. And Lord, may this be so for every heart and every soul by Thy grace in our meeting today. Accept of our thanks for Thy presence. We commit the royal family to Thee at this time. Continue to bless them, strengthen them, and uphold them by Thy power and by Thy grace, and meet their needs. Even, Lord, in our royal household and in that family and household, may there be that looking unto Christ by faith for salvation and for refuge and for grace and for strength. Here in heaven, Thy dwelling place, part us with Your fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this Thy day. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour. We pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory and praise. Amen and amen. But I ask you, as the organist leads us, just to stand for the singing of the three verses of the National Anthem. Standing to sing the National Anthem as the organist leads us, please. seated. Thank you.